There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett.
Hello again, friends, and welcome inside, at least for me. House up top inside the Riverland Roofing Studios. I'm Ben Geared at Spirit Ben on Twitter. Riverland Roofing powers this podcast, Talk of Champions. As always, 662-644-4297. Call them, reach out to them, text them for all your roofing needs. Few, if any, are doing more for Ole Miss sports in the NIL space, name, image, and likeness, than Riverland Roofing. So give my people, Billy Landis, Tate Martin, Carson, all them guys over there at Riverland Roofing, give them your support. Riverlandroofing.com. It's a post-Super Bowl edition of Talk of Champions. Zach Berry and I both cover Ole Miss for the Ole Miss, Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, an affiliate of Ole Miss 3. Sign up today for the low, low cost of $1. The Eagles, A.J. Brown, and the Philadelphia Eagles whip Patrick Mahomes and the three-peat chasing Kansas City Chiefs. And I got to say, that's where I got to start, because I'm happy for A.J. Brown, the man who signed with Ole Miss in 2000 and, golly, what was it, 16?
2016, yeah.
2016, signed as a four-star out of the backyard of the in-state rival Mississippi State Bulldogs, had led Starkville to a 6A state title his senior year at Starkville. That's the last time he'd been in the postseason until the NFL, but now he's gone to his second Super Bowl, finally won one, gets the much earned, deserved hardware for one of the, without question, Mount Rushmore Ole Miss football rebels. Zachary, how we doing? You excited for AJ?
Yeah, I'm good. We had a party at the house, and everybody was, you know, who are you cheering for? I was like, man, you know, honestly, I'm looking forward to the halftime show. But yeah, I was like, I'm pulling for the Eagles. Like to see AJ get one. He got there once before. Had a great game. Eagles couldn't get it done. And, yeah, he's a great ambassador for Ole Miss, for the university, for the football program. He's proud to represent Ole Miss, and it was good. Got a touchdown catch. The game kind of went perfect for Philly, talking with some guys around the neighborhood. And I was like, man, the Eagles are just going to have to muddy it up. They're going to have to shorten the game. They're going to have to run the football. You know, basically put chew clock on, and that's what they did. And Ben, it's pretty easy. I know it's the NFL, it's the highest level, but when you got guys that are capable of playing zone defense and you only have to rush four, you can get a lot done. Ole Miss fans saw that in November when Ole Miss beat Georgia. Chiefs couldn't block the Eagles, and Mahomes was just running for his life and just trying to throw the ball and just get rid of it. They did a hell of a job confusing him. I know Gronkowski said it before he said it at halftime, then he said it after the game. That was kind of the game plan the Bucs had when they beat the Chiefs, was just kind of frustrate him and see if he makes mistakes. And he made a lot of them last night. So good for AJ. Had a hell of a game, and, it was good. I had a good time.
Mississippi recruiting was all over the Super Bowl. Every time Chris Jones would pop up, I would think about trips to Chevron before signing day, when he and Hugh Freeze became best of buds and continued to text even when he was at Mississippi State and Freeze was at Ole Miss. That was a funny one. He's already gotten two titles. The Chiefs were going for their first, or to become the first NFL three-peat champion, and the Eagles just beat the crap out of them, absolutely whipped them, and in a lot of ways reminded me of Ole Miss's 28-10 win over Georgia because of the way the script fell. And you start to see then it's not a great way to connect it, but man, all I'm thinking is the Ole Miss formula. This is essentially the Ole Miss formula, what they would have used for the college football playoff. I mean, they would have tried to beat you down with their weapons and their running quarterback who doesn't have the biggest arm, the hugest arm, but man, they've got weapons galore, defense with a front seven that is arguably the best in the league. When you can only rush four, like Zach said, so think about Jared Ivey and Princely Umon Mielen. And I still think Ohio State, Walter Nolan. I still think J.J. Pegues. I still think that Ohio State probably would have gotten them just because I think they were the best team in college football talent-wise. But, man, when Ole Miss was playing at its best in that Georgia game, defensively was its best. You could say offensively they still weren't at their best. But when they were operating close to their peak, they're probably the best team in college football. And that's what – now that football is over – my mind goes to first. Number one, yes, A.J. Brown, the greatest, one of the greatest Ole Miss Rebels of all time, finally getting some well-deserved hardware. But also another reminder that, man, Ole Miss was really, really close. And it's, now that football is over, dang, it's officially over. Like, it's all flipping the script. It's a new year now, and the team is practicing off-season strength and conditioning program, seeing pictures every day of Jaden Yates and Andrew Jones and Dijon Stribling, all the new additions, but it was a missed opportunity, and Ole Miss tried to follow a similar script like it did against Georgia that the Eagles used against the Chiefs. And what could have been, Zachary? What could have been?
Yeah, I get that a lot, and I understand it. Probably top to bottom the best Ole Miss team ever. I know there were teams in, you know, 59, 60, 62. It's a different era. Obviously, I'm of the belief you can't compare eras. So, sure, those teams won titles and won the SEC. So, yeah, that makes them, you know, on paper better. But just from a realistic standpoint of just bigger, faster, stronger athletes, this was the best team that Ole Miss has had in the modern era. But look, I look at it this way. Like, Ole Miss was right there. You have a slip-up against Florida, you know, or you see the – you know, either or slip up against Kentucky or Florida. You win one of those, you're in. And then who knows what happens. So I look at it this way with Kiffin once again being successful in the portal. They got a quarterback that they really, really like. And I think that the staff is pretty bullish on the additions at key spots. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that, and I'm not certainly saying it because we don't know. We'll see what happens next fall. But just as good of a chance to win nine games again. And then, hey, maybe you slip up and beat somebody. Somebody has an off day like Ole Miss had in Gainesville. So, I mean, I think this is the norm now where you're Ole Miss. You expect to be in the conversation for the playoff every year. So, yeah, best roster ever. It's tough. But I think Kiffin and them will have them right back in the thick of it in 2025. And, I mean, at this point with Austin Simmons and, you know, first-year starter, get some experience and then see what second year. I mean, 2026 could easily set up to have a similar type run. So huge bummer with, you know, beating Georgia and kind of getting over that hump of the quote, big win for Lane Kiffin. And you have Jackson Dart who sets all the records. But yeah, I understand the groveling and people being upset for good reason, because it was such a great team. But yeah, if you're an Ole Miss fan, you got to trust the staff. I mean, as good a staff as there's ever been in Oxford, and you got to expect them to get the Rebels right back there.
Fully expect it. It was less about, you know, Ole Miss football than A.J. Brown again, finally getting some well-earned hardware. And of course, at my Super Bowl party, just at the house, a bunch of people showed up, and a lot of fellow Ole Miss people showed up. And, of course, the inevitable discussion about Phil Longo wasting Dawson Knox and A.J. Brown and DK Metcalf and Jordan Tiamu came up, to which I've kind of changed my mind on that a little bit, only because we got to remember those defenses were Wesley McGriff-led, and they were the worst defenses the Wesley McGriff defenses. I mean, they were the worst defense. Well, this defense this year, the best of the modern era, the Wesley McGriff defenses were the worst. So I'm ready. I'm not going to say I'm ready to let Phil Longo off the hook, but I am saying that.
That's always been my thing. When people want to, you know, shit on Phil Longo, you know, I was a big fan. You know, I watched a lot of Sam Houston State. I pretty much consume all college football that I can. So I watched it a lot. And, you know, as someone who covered the team, I told the fans, like, hey, this is something you should be excited about. Like, his offenses are fun. They put up a lot of points. That whole thing with – sure, just full stop. Dawson Knox should have gotten more touches. But the gripe with his offense and everything, like, that – like Jordan Tiamu, all those dudes, like, they knew, okay, when we get the ball, we have to score because the defense is not stopping anyone. So there was a ton of pressure on them to put up a lot of points. So – yeah, there were some schematic things that were kind of silly, the red zone struggles, and then Dawson Knox just not being a huge factor. But outside of that, I mean, Phil Longo did his job. They put up numbers. They scored. Wesley McGriff just – I mean, that unit could not stop anyone. So, it's twofold there for me.
AJ, Eli, who are the other two Ole Miss football Mount Rushmore Rebels? Archie.
Yeah, Mount Rushmore's tough because, you know, you're picking four.
Patrick Willis?
Yeah, it's him or Tunsil.
Well, it can't be Laramie because of what the NCAA did to him as far as the resume itself. If we're talking about just pure talent, then yeah, I'm just saying when you look at what they did, then go into the NFL, what they accomplished. Archie didn't have the NFL accomplishment. There are two other Pro Football Hall of Fame Rebels with Patrick Willis. One of them being Bruiser Kennard. I don't think I'd put Bruiser in there over Archie because of what Archie meant to Ole Miss. Archie who? To me, I think it's AJ, Eli, Archie, and Patrick Willis. Well,
yeah, Patrick Willis for sure because he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of depends. It depends on who you ask, you know, how old they are. You know, if you want to go like modern, like recent modern era, it's got to be AJ. It's got to be Patrick Willis. You know, you could make a case for Jackson Dart. You could make a case for Eli Manning. Mm-hmm. You could make a case for Matt Corral. It's been a lot of really talented dudes. I still think Tunsil gets in there just because of how elite he was. And he continues to be elite in the NFL. And, yeah, I mean, it's been a great run of a lot of really, really, really good players that have come through Ole Miss, regardless of what the win-loss record was. It's been a good run, and I mean, it seems there's an Ole Miss guy in just about every Super Bowl the last couple of years, at least guys from Mississippi. But yeah, Ole Miss specifically, it's been good representation. So it was good for AJ to get that Lombardi Trophy, and I don't know if you saw the picture of him with the enormous champagne bottle. So good for him to be able to celebrate. But yeah, Rushmore is always tough because it's only four. But yeah, I mean, take your pick out of any of the ones that we just mentioned. I don't think there's a wrong answer.
I think I've got it nailed. It's Eli, Archie, AJ, and Patrick Willis. I mean, Eli's going to be in the Hall of Fame, by the way. I mean, I know there's been here's the thing about the Eli conversation for the Hall of Fame debate. He's not a first ballot Hall of Famer, but you can't tell the story of the NFL without Eli Manning. He's the one that beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in those Patriots dynasties. Yes, he had a defense and he had this twice. Yeah. And was the MVP of both games. Again, you cannot tell the story of the NFL without including Eli Manning. That makes him a Hall of Famer. Does that make him a first ballot Hall of Famer? His career QBR is lower than Daniel Jones, who replaced him, and Andy Dalton. Okay, his career record's 117 and 117. There are things that aren't Hall of Fame worthy about his resume, but he beat those dynasty chasing New England Patriots teams twice, and he was the MVP of both games, and only one other two-time Super Bowl MVP quarterback is not in the Hall of Fame. He'll get in, but I didn't really understand the consternation about not being a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think the class, because of how weak the class was, maybe you could, like, if you want to argue it in that way, He should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer because who else? You put Jared Allen in and Sterling Sharp. I mean, Eli Manning, even with – but I don't know. Voting and all that stuff is silly at this point. Eli is going to get in. He's a Mount Rushmore Ole Miss Rebel. So is Arthur Brown Jr. AJ getting his well-earned ring. I was really excited for him because I'm a Cowboys fan. We talked about this a million times. I actually did a podcast on this one time when he got traded to the from the Titans to the Eagles. AJ Brown's my favorite Ole Miss Rebel of all time. Yeah, no. He's my favorite Ole Miss Rebel of all time. And it's been hard because the Cowboys hadn't done anything in 30 years. Hadn't been to an NFC Championship again in 30 years. The worst team in the NFL. And I grew up hating the Eagles, hating the Giants. Like Eli becoming the quarterback for the Giants was miserable for me because Eli was my dude in college. And then he went to the team I hated the most. And AJ wins a title. I had to watch first. Eli win a Super Bowl title for for a team that I grew up hating the NFL. And now I've seen AJ do it as well. It would just be really nice, is all I'm saying. If Jackson Dart had the Tony Romo track, you know, replace Dak one day and let him do a title. I don't know. I'm just saying it would be a hell of a lot easier to celebrate these things for stupid idiot.
If Jackson Dart replaces Dak and wins a Super Bowl, I mean, Egg Bowl Twitter will
not be able to handle it.
Hey, you know what would be great is if the Titans didn't trade A.J. Brown.
Yeah. And then replace him with Treylon Burks, who they say is A.J. Brown like, but we're getting him on his first contract and he's played like six downs.
It's like he has more Super Bowl appearances than I think Treylon Burks has touchdowns.
Yep.
Treylon
Burks, you know, great player at Arkansas, but come on.
Every time he made a play last night, me and all the guys in the neighborhood, we're all Titans fans, and we're looking at each other like, man, maybe the Titans should try to draft a guy like him.
Yeah,
like, maybe that's
pay him, you know, pay him what he's worth. Mike Vrabel was a good coach. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. That's whatever.
Anyway.
But I wanted to talk about AJ because he is a unique story, how he showed up, how he came to Ole Miss. He stayed when he could have left, and now he's gotten his hardware. It's awesome. I'm thrilled for him. One of the greatest, if not the greatest, Ole Miss Rebels of all time. So I got to give him his props. But this week in Ole Miss sports, now that football is over.
One last thing. Uh-huh. Ties to AJ, because him and Jalen Hurts are bros. Mm-hmm. They've been friends forever. I'm pretty sure I need to double check this, but my buddy, during the game last night, I'm pretty sure this is correct, that Devontae Smith is the first Alabama player to score a touchdown in a Super Bowl.
That's crazy.
Because, like, you know, Jalen Hurts technically counts for Oklahoma because that's where he finished. Yep. I'm pretty sure I went back and Googled it real quick last night. I'm pretty sure Joe Namath never had a touchdown. Like, he always had good games throwing the ball, but they always set up touchdown runs. That's a bonkers statistic.
Wild stat.
Just like how good Alabama players have been, and then also how many are in the NFL, how it's never happened. It's crazy.
Well, you would think that just not necessarily an all-time great, but like a Mark Ingram with the Saints would have gotten in or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just like pick your guy who wasn't necessarily the guy in the NFL, but Alabama has produced more NFL players than anybody in the touchdown scored.
Yeah, like if the Ravens had gotten there, I mean, Derrick Henry's absolutely scoring in the Super Bowl. I mean, it's just – that's just crazy. My buddy said that at the party last night, and I was like, what? So
first, and then it pops up on a screen in the middle of the Super Bowl, and I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. But also, the most impactful Alabama players are defense. So
sure. Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I didn't notice that it was on the screen. I was
Devontae Smith, though, winning the Heisman and becoming the guy that does it. It's about right. That's good.
Yeah.
You know, he being the guy. Just like A.J. Brown, I just wish it wasn't with the Eagles, man. I wish it was just not with the Eagles. It's brutal. It could have been with the Titans. The Titans falling short. I remember watching that when I was a kid, falling a yard short against the Rams in that Super Bowl championship game. Man, I'm just the Eagles, but I'm happy for A.J. Brown. I really am because he deserves it and all those things. What are you watching for this week at Ole Miss Sports? Ole Miss recruiting is certainly been hot and heavy lately.
Yeah.
Ole Miss football is in its offseason program with Nick Savage. They're out and working out. We got galleries and stories at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, and Philadelphia 3 if you want to check those out. Baseball is coming up this week. The Yeah. First pitch of on opening day is on Valentine's Day in Arlington. What are the things you're most paying attention to this week in Ole Miss sports?
I mean, we kind of buried the lead here, and we were, you know, going to get to it eventually. Obviously, the Super Bowl is one of the biggest events in the world, but Ole Miss basketball, 2-0 on the week last week. I mean, when you talk about pulling one out of the fire, I mean, you're reaching, you know, up to your elbow and some blue flames to get the one on Saturday. Huge win for Ole Miss. I don't think it was going to ultimately just derail a season that has so much promise. It would have been a bad loss. It would have been a wart on the resume, but I mean, down 11 with what, a minute and a half, 2 minutes left, and you go on the run, you get the stops you need, you hit the big shots, you make free throws, and then just a pretty damn good, you know, work on the whiteboard at the end there. You get the shot you wanted with Sean Padula. I thought he made it. I mean, got to the cup.
I don't know how he missed it.
I thought he made it, and then as soon as you get Jamin Brakefield, Andre Davis both going for the tip, Jamin kind of, you know, gets – I think he got bodied, like got shoved.
But to have the wherewithal to back off of touching that ball on the rim.
That's what it was. I think Jamin pulled off, and Dre got the tip right as it came off. Huge. I think – you've got some wins on the resume that are doing a lot of work behind the scenes for you. Louisville, big one on the road too. You got Alabama on the road.
They're a lock.
Yeah, for sure.
The only potential bad loss, they don't have a bad loss all year.
Because Memphis is not a bad loss anymore.
No, LSU would have been a bad loss. Now, would that have kept them out of the tournament? No, but then you're looking down the schedule and like, well, where are they going to get the wins from? That's why it was so important, because the SEC could be a 13-bid league. The first 13-bid league ever. The fact that Ole Miss could have lost that game and still been firmly in shows how good and strong their resume is. However, you start to wonder, well, where are the wins going to come from? So South Carolina's the last bad loss on the resume. They beat South Carolina. Not only are they in, but they could lose out and still be in.
Yeah, and this is, in my opinion, the last probably the last, like, trap game at-ish. You know, it's – you cannot afford to lose it. I mean, it's not going to kill you, but you really need to win it. I mean, this is – if you're a 4, 5, 6 seed, these are the games that you go win. You're the better team. You just go on the road and you get a win.
You figure kinda out like LSU. You figure out a way.
You get that shot at Mississippi State at home. Then you go on the road to a spunky Vanderbilt team. And then you get another shot at Auburn on the road, house money, whatever. You go to the jungle, do your best. And then Oklahoma at home, Tennessee at home. That's a good stretch right there, because Oklahoma has shown some signs of life. They've been kind of spunky. And Tennessee's one of the best teams in the country. So
But gettable. Ole Miss is one of the best defensive teams in the country. That's the beauty of this Ole Miss basketball team, is you look who they match up against. Oh, well, their defense can play with anybody. And that's what kept them in. I mean, that's what kept them in against LSU. That's what allowed them a 15-2 run in the final 252 or 54 is just nuts. And it was the first game my wife Emily I had watched with me. We're sitting there and, you know, I'm rubbing her feet and she's like really getting into it. She said, that was awesome. I was like, what? This Ole Miss basketball team, man, is never out of it, even when you think they are. Because at 254, no signs of offensive improvement, any shot make, and they figure it out. Dre Davis driving to the goal, Jamin Brakefield hitting the big three. I mean, there were some threes to be made that were missed, and also the free throw misses are killing them. And yet they got to fix that. But
that's how you win in March.
Yeah, you make your free throws, because Ole Miss has got the formula. They're going to the rim. They're playing great defense. They're getting to the line. They're getting opportunities. It's what allowed them to stay in. It was the reverse Texas A&M. As terrible as Texas A&M felt, LSU, you got it back in that one effort, because you went possession to possession. And one thing that's kind of under the radar in that final sequence is Ole Miss didn't have timeouts Chris Beard and staff flawlessly, I think they had one timeout left, flawlessly kept a possession or two ahead for their offense and defense with an experienced group who can take in all of that information, because you have 10 seniors, many of them fifth years, guys that have been through those wars and can go implement a game plan without, you know, calling a timeout, taking a break, bringing them over, gathering them. It was just a testament to this, the uniqueness of this contending Ole Miss basketball team, that they could – that's a game that Ole Miss for the last 5-6 years loses without question. Without question, and all the questions about, well, are they who we thought they were? And I think LSU was 11-0 when leading by double digits at, under 3 minutes.
Under 5 minutes or something, yeah.
Yeah, and Ole Miss just did to them what they can do, and that smother you and get enough opportunities and drag the clock out to where they can get a win. So you needed that win in South Carolina. Again, they haven't won in the league. You got to win that game. After that, a lot of the games, if not all of them, are free shots. But Ole Miss is firmly in the NCAA tournament. Baseball is coming up this weekend. I'm trying to not allow myself to believe that this Ole Miss baseball team is going to be the one that gets back. I'm trying not to, because I've convinced myself before each of the last 2 years that Ole Miss had the firepower. But I really do think Ole Miss has the firepower this year. What do you think about Ole Miss, especially with pitching, probably the best pitching depth they've had in years upon years? So for you, tell me I'm crazy not to believe in this Ole Miss baseball team from jump. I'm not saying that they're not going to win this year. I'm just saying I'm trying to have tempered expectations considering, but it's kind of hard because I think they've got a good mix right now.
I'm like you. I want to see how this weekend goes, and then let's see how the first couple weekends in the SEC go. But yeah, there's a lot to like. Maybe not as deep as what Ole Miss basketball is with experience, but Ole Miss added a lot of experience through the portal. And you have to like some of the young arms, and you have to like some of the young position players. I think someone that could potentially be a huge part of this bounce back year is Campbell Smithwick, who had his issues behind the dish last year, but still, you know, hit fairly well. He's back. He will have his opportunity to kind of right his wrongs, if you will. And, you know, he was a young player. So, I mean, he's going to be another year older. He's going to be way more comfortable. But, yeah, I mean, I posted a lot of it on the message board throughout the weekend. Perfect Game was down in Oxford for the scrimmage. And there was a lot to like with what you saw from Riley Maddox on the mound. Hunter Elliott looks like he could be back to his old self. You've got like Sam Takuin on the mound. You've got Austin Folley, the catcher that Ole Miss got in the portal. Another strong arm behind the dish. I think that's huge for Ole Miss to have multiple catchers, because as you know, one guy is not catching every single game. It's just not possible. You don't want to do that. But yeah, you've got youngsters like Mason Morris, who's another year in the program. He looks to be benefiting from strength and conditioning. Landon Waters. And then you got the young guys. I mean, Cade Townsend has got some electric stuff for a true freshman. Everybody's super high on Owen Pano. They think that he has the makings of being the next great shortstop at Ole Miss. At this point, he's far and away ahead of every other shortstop that was great at Ole Miss, just because of how big he is. Every bit of 225. I mean, he's a monster. I think they have a lot of high expectations for him in year one. But yeah, you mentioned the depth on the mound. I mean, I think that's where you win games. I think you're gonna figure out the lineup, you know, at some point. You know, you figure out which nine you want up there, which 10 you want, you know, hitting, whatever. You want to be able to have some time to figure out, you know, who's best in the leadoff spot? Who's best in the nine? Who do we need in the three? Who do we need in the four? And I think that this pitching staff has the credentials to help Ole Miss kind of ease into figuring out that lineup. But yeah, Cole Ketchum, just kind of running through some of the names here that Perfect Game was high on. I mean, Isaac Humphrey, dude that had double-digit home runs at Louisville, Yep. I mean, that's an experienced guy you're going to have in the middle of your order. Mitchell Sanford originally went to LSU. That right there is, you know, that's kind of like the rubber stamp in college baseball, you know, kind of similar to college football. Like if Nick, you know, old school, like Alabama, like if Nick Saban offers you a scholarship, like that says something. You know, if Kirby Smart offers you a scholarship, that's a big deal. You know, whoever is coaching at LSU, if they want you, that's a big deal. So he's got some big time pop. It's probably going to be in the middle of the order. Cautiously optimistic is probably the best way to describe it, because I still think there's a long way to go and it's a long season. You know, all the cliches, not how you start, it's how you finish, but the makings of this team, you know, a lot of people, you know, D1 baseball, Perfect Game, you know, Baseball America, Collegiate Baseball, whoever, a lot of people are keeping a really close eye on this Ole Miss team because everyone expects it to be better.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
This is Cali. With C Spire's blazing fast nationwide 5G network, she's got her fans in the palm of her hands. Live streaming her Mississippi Blues from her phone wherever she is. Out there, wherever they are. Right now, get the latest 5G phone on us. Only at C Spire, customer inspired.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Three reasons why Ben in the Riverland Roofing Studios, the little roof up top, little house, I should say, up top, is bullish on Ole Miss baseball this year. Number one, catching depth. Campbell Smithwick did struggle with pass balls last year, had 11. I don't know why I keep thinking it's 18. 11 pass balls last year. Colin Reuter and Austin Folley, two transfers added. Austin Folley came from Kentucky, both of them. Can really play it defensively if Campbell has any issues, because his bat's going to play. His bat's going to be in the lineup every single day, in the middle of the lineup, third or fourth. Campbell Smithwick will be batting. He's a next-level bat, next-level prospect. But if the defense isn't there, they have options behind him to really balance the lineup out. I wouldn't be surprised if on opening day, Austin Folley isn't starting at catcher with Campbell Smithwick at DH or in an outfield corner. But I think that catching depth is really what was really what took them out of many games last year, because how it affects everything else, defense, pitching, the hitting is such in catching. I mean, you'd hear Mike Bianco used to say it, man, or any baseball guy would say it. You want the defense first and the offense, whatever you get from offense is plus, especially as they're young and coming along. It was the reverse for Campbell Smithwick. Offensively, he was fine, but defensively and managing the pitching staff, it was not so great. So this year, I think that depth could be huge, especially considering Austin Folley crushed it in the fall. Colin Reuter's been crushing it here in the spring. They have options at catcher, and that's one reason why, knowing how important that position is, particularly for Ole Miss, with Mike Bianco and Carl and Mike all being former catchers, they've got to have that spot right. So the fact that they are three deep there with three guys that could start for them, I think is one of the biggest reasons why I'm pretty bullish on them. Secondly, mentioned at the top, pitching depth. Hunter Elliott's healthy. That fastball has ticked up a little bit. I don't want y'all to think he's going to go out there and pump 96, but he's, you know, 87 to 90, 91 with the fastball when he gets up there, and that's as healthy as he's been. He's first team, or at least he's preseason All-SEC. I think it was first team. Might have been second team. And he's the first preseason All-SEC selection for Ole Miss as a pitcher in years. Hunter is not the only one, though, because they've got Riley Maddox back and Connor Spencer back and Sam Duken back and – I really like Mason Morrison, what he's done in the fall and in the spring. Kay Townsend is the next great Ole Miss pitcher. I mean, he's got the same type of clout and next level potential as the Gunnar Hoglands did, as the Doug Nikhazes did. I mean, this is one of those guys. Ryan Rollison, he's one of those guys. He's also, in my opinion, a lot like Chris Ellis. I could see him having a Chris Ellis type impact sooner rather than later. And then the third reason why is because I think Ole Miss really did attack the transfer portal how it needed to, and maybe didn't necessarily attack it in the previous couple of years. I kind of wanted to go with Mangrum being the new pitching coach and what kind of impact that'll have. But I think in the end, you got to go with the talent level, and Ole Miss had to get some instant impact hitters. Isaac Humphrey's going to be good. Mitch Sanford's going to be good. But Owen Pano, I'm with you. I think he's going to hit the ground running. Maybe offensively it might take him a little bit because that's typically what happens with freshmen. But if Judd Odermark is healthy, man, he's been clubbing home runs every single time he's healthy. He could play third base, could play first base. Luke Hill's had a good preseason. He could play second. He could play third. Been really impressed with Braden Randall, who didn't show a lot as far as power last year, what he's been able to do, not just with his positional versatility, like with Campbell Smithwick, but also his ability to hit. And you've got guys like, you know, the shortstop that transferred in, Chang, that, man, he's been having a good preseason. They've gotten more depth of options to where they don't have to try the same thing over and over and over, as is the definition of insanity, and hope for a different result. And I think that's why I'm kind of believing they're going to go this weekend, and we're going to get out of it going, they might be onto something with this group. Now, what's the ceiling? What's the floor? The floor is not making the playoffs, period. Losing season. That's the floor. They've shown that they can do that. It used to not even be a part of the conversation because Mike Bianco teams never finished like this. But back-to-back losing seasons, that's got to be the floor, losing season. But I think that at the very least, the ceiling is a number two somewhere, a number two seed somewhere in the postseason. Maybe not a host or something like that, but I think this team has the makings of not necessarily title contending 2022, but certainly more in line with what we were used to before the bottom fell out the last 2 years.
Yeah, I think Jake Mangrum is going to be huge. I've heard players say it. I kind of thought it, but once the players started to say it, it's going to be way more laid back. Mm-hmm. It's going to free him up to just kind of coach. He doesn't have to call plays and coach. Like, he can just do his thing. Mangrum calling pitches, that I think that's going to take a huge weight off of Bianco. I mean, he's done it forever, so, I mean, he's obviously been good at it. But I think it's going to, you know, kind of give him a, you know, kind of a new lease on life as a coach, where he's not having to do it during the game, so he can kind of focus on, you know, one-on-ones with guys, you know, talks in the dugouts, you know, stuff like that. And
motivating, which is one of his greatest strengths.
Yeah. Does all the, you know, pregame, postgame, you know, he does all the stories, all the metaphors, all that. I think that's going to be big. Excited to see what Mangrum does with the pitching staff. I think the young talent, and then the, like you mentioned, the portal acquisitions around the young talent. Because, I mean, up the middle, you've got tons of options. You got Luke Chang and you got Luke Hill. Both of those guys can help Owen Pano ease into eventually being the next thing at shortstop.
Hayden Fredericos had a great preseason too. He could play third. He could play it's a lot of positions in the infield. He's been really hitting. They just have more options to really throw out there and try if things go sideways. They don't have to sit there and wait for a true freshman to figure out pass balls. They can roll with the two transfers at catcher if they need to.
Yeah. I think there's a lot more juice for the lineup. I think there's a lot more power. Odermark another year. All the, you know, Fowley, all the transfers are, you know, guys that have some real pop. I think that's going to be something. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but I feel like Ole Miss kind of struggled offensively last year to just, you know, generate, you know, extra base hits, you know, not necessarily home runs, but just, you know, more than just singles. And I think that that's something that you're going to have these guys that are going to be working gap to gap and really, you know, taking the pressure off of that pitching staff. And then lastly, I think the thing for me is Hunter Elliott. How's he going to be after the surgery and the rehab? And, you know, speaking of a new lease on coaching, I mean, new lease on pitching for Hunter Elliott, I think he's going to be hungry. I think he's going to be extremely motivated. It's a draft year for him.
He just they need him to eat innings. They need Hunter Elliott to be
innings. He needs to be Doug Nikhazes. be that.
So I don't even think he needs to be Doug Nikhazy. I just think he needs to be Hunter Elliott Light, even with the 2022 title run. He doesn't have to be that good. They just need him to be. You would rather have Hunter Elliott trying to figure it out than the next guy behind him. I want him to throw as many innings as he can. So for him, it's just stay healthy because his stuff's good enough to compete.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if it's not to the level as it once was, as he gets fatigued and all those things that come with pitching a lot of innings.
Yeah, and I say be Nikhazy, not just because he's a lefty, but, I mean, Nikhazy was a guy that would get you 7-8 pretty much every time out. I mean, he was very consistently running deep into games, saving your bullpen, especially on the weekend when you get in the SEC. Everybody's good in the SEC. You're going to need to save that bullpen. So if you can get Hunter Elliott to run out there on Friday nights and get you seven and two thirds, 8 1/3, whatever, it's not going to happen every outing. But like you said, if he can eat up some innings and save that bullpen for Saturday and Sunday, that's huge. And I mean, I'm just very excited to see how he looks and just how he is, because he was dominant as a freshman in that title run. And you have to think that he's eager to get back out there. So I think he can be that cornerstone guy on the weekend in the rotation. And I'm not there yet as to say Ole Miss will go as Hunter Elliott goes, but he's a big damn piece of what this 2025 season will look like.
And as we get out of here, give me Zach's recruiting attack, the three big recruiting things that Ole Miss fans need to know right now on this Monday, February 10th, 2025.
I think the quarterback dominoes is something to keep an eye on. Right now, Ole Miss is really surging for Landon Duckworth, the four-star quarterback out of Jackson, Alabama. Essentially named Ole Miss's leader. It's still going to be tough. Georgia's offered him. Georgia's going to come after him. South Carolina's still going to try to get him back after he decommitted. But he really likes Ole Miss, and I think he fits what Ole Miss likes to do offensively. After him, I mean, you have to keep an eye on Jonas Williams, the quarterback from Illinois. He's committed to Oregon. I mentioned him a couple weeks ago, and I said that I'd been told by a couple sources that he would probably eventually open things back up and see who else is out there. He hasn't done it officially yet, but if you want to play the social media game, there's nothing about Oregon and the Twitter or the Instagram bio anymore. And he took a visit out to Southern Cal to go see Lincoln Riley and the Trojans. I do anticipate him taking a trip to Ole Miss at some point. And then you've got, a plethora of other guys at quarterback. Ryder Lyons is always going to be in the mix. You've got Jared Curtis, who we've talked about this enough on the board and on here, didn't make the top six, but Ole Miss is still going to go after him. But I still think there are a couple other guys out there that Ole Miss really covets at the position. Keyshawn Henderson, the Houston commit. The guy's saying all the right things, Ben. He's telling everybody that he loves Houston. He's not listening, but the louder that noise gets around his recruitment with all these other schools coming at him, the tougher it's going to be for Willie Fritz and the Cougars to hold on to him. And there's a couple other guys out there, Jake Fetty out in El Paso. He's committed to Arizona State. Ole Miss likes him a lot. So there's a ton of names. And then outside of that,
what's his name? Jake Fetty WAP. Is that what you said?
Just Jake Fetty. No, as far as I know, it's just Fetty. I don't think it's hyphenated.
Okay.
You look at some of the names that Ole Miss is surging for on defense. They have got an OV coming up with a Miami commit, Jordan Campbell. He's from Carroll City. It's going to be tough. I mean, Carroll City's right there next to campus, essentially, with the Hurricanes. But Ole Miss is really taking a big step with him. He really likes Pete Golding. He likes what the Ole Miss staff has been saying to him. And then Grayson linebacker Anthony Davis, big time powerhouse program out of Georgia. Obviously
talked to him. I talked to him at Junior Day. The same Grayson that produced Ole Miss great Daniel Kamara.
Yeah. No one
and
else.
And the Kenducci brothers, Rob and Denzel, of course.
So
Wayne Gallman for Clemson, running back.
Yeah.
See, we're old, man. That was back when Grayson was just starting to become a football
school. Ole Miss picked the wrong guy. They didn't know if it's to Kamara, but Gallman was a stud. There's a lot of these linebackers that are – it's not just like, yeah, I like Pete Golding. Like, it's like, no, I want to come take an OV. Like, I want to come visit. So,
well, it's funny talking to him at Junior Day. Anthony Davis was – because I'd never seen him in person. And so I walk up to him and, like, you know, the standard questions when you get in a row, like, it's hundreds of kids showing up. So you just, you're hitting them one at a time. And I'm like, hey man, so who all's offered? He was like, everybody. What do you like about Ole Miss? He's like, I'm about to find out because I've got this, 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 this. I mean, he looks like a million bucks. That Anthony Davis kid, you could tell he was legit. And then when I went and looked at his offers, because I said, you know, that's probably the coldest recruiting answer you could give. Who all's offered? Everybody. And I went back and looked, and yes, they have. Everybody has offered Anthony Davis, the linebacker out of Grayson.
Yeah. Another name, speaking of Georgia, Nazir McCoy is from Buford. I talked to him this morning. I'll have a story out. You'll probably have read it by the time you listen to this podcast. But another Georgia guy, really, really likes Ole Miss. He's from Buford. Ole Miss just signed his former teammate Hayden Bradley in the 25 class. Reese McIntyre went to Buford. So there's some ties there. So he's setting up an OV. He will be on campus. And then, look, everybody's been clamoring for it. Earlier today, before we hit the record button, Ole Miss made the top six for a four-star offensive tackle.
Woo!
Bryce Gilmore, talked to him today. I'll have a story out on his kind of reaction with Ole Miss specifically. Like, he talked to Chad Simmons. You can kind of see his overarching, you know, themes to why he picked the schools. But I'm talking to him about why Ole Miss specifically made it. Texas is another state that Ole Miss has hit hard, and they've got a lot of ties on the staff to Texas, you know, Randall Joyner, Alex Brown. So there's a good shot there, and Ole Miss gets the, as of now, scheduled last official visit. So at the end of June, he will be at Ole Miss for an OV. So I think that you're seeing a very concerted effort to hit high school recruiting very, very hard, very early. So trying to, you know, get a quarterback committed early to build around, get some defensive pieces to build around, and really hit that offensive line hard. So, yeah, tons of recruiting stuff on the site. Billy and I have been – feels like we've been busy for, like, 4 months straight. Ben had some good stuff from the junior day. Yeah, man. I mean, it's a full team effort, but, I mean, it never stops. So, we got to have everybody. But
I think Duckworth is – I know Ole Miss feels really good about where it sits with that kid from talking to people.
Yes, yes.
I mean – if you get the quarterback, that's how it all kind of falls into place, and then you got to hold on to him and stuff. But typically in the old days, when you got your quarterback, that's where it started. You get him committed between February and June, and everything else falls into place. I think Ole Miss is prioritizing that position in high school specifically because they didn't sign a high school quarterback last year. They want – this is an off year as far as, like, they got A.J. Maddox. He's competing to back up. Austin Simmons competing for that job too. They like him, but the Louisville guy was brought in specifically to be a gimmicky, like, just fail-safe. So they're going for the next great Ole Miss quarterback, and they absolutely love Landon Duckworth.
And it's a really strong high school quarterback class. Yeah. There's a lot of really good players. So
makes you think that they intentionally kicked the can down the road knowing that this quarterback class were more options than guys they liked.
It's crazy.
Seems like they had a plan. But yeah,
they knew what they were doing.
Who could say? Yeah, there's a lot of, and that's good for Ole Miss. It's a good problem to have. There are a lot of 4- and 5-star guys that like Ole Miss, so it's going to be a delicate dance, if you will, with, you know, who they take early, who they maybe, you know. And I'm not saying this is what Ole Miss does, but, you know, coaching staffs will tell guys like, hey, like, take your visits and you know, come see us when you're ready. You know, that's kind of what you do in recruiting, right? You keep guys warm. You never know what's going to happen. But it's a good problem to have. And Ole Miss is in a great spot with, I think, probably 2 or 3 quarterbacks right now. And they're all, like, very, very fun to watch. True dual threat, good arm talent, winners, like guys that win in high school, like guys that put up big numbers, but, fit what Ole Miss likes to do. So it's going to be a fun spring and a fun summer for sure to cover recruiting for Ole Miss.
And it's going to be fun here on Talk of Champions. We're going to be going on the road and making some trips for Talk of Champions to meet with some people, to talk to some people, some Ole Miss Rebels, some different things coming in 2025. And now that football is over, we got a long wait, folks. The NFL draft and baseball and basketball, but it's the Austin Simmons era for Ole Miss football. And we're going to be attacking it best we can here on Talk of Champions, going on the road, and catching up with some old and new names. Yeah, it's time for old Spirit Ben to get out from the corner here and get more back on the road. Hey, so I'm excited about it.
Hey, speaking of getting on the road, if you're going to Arlington this weekend, Billy will be there. I think he was setting up some kind of meet and greet, like a happy hour or lunch or something. If you want to go hang out, Billy, dude's a gem. He's good people. So if you got a chance, go hang out with him. You can talk that ear off. He'll talk about Ole Miss all day long. So
Listen, at the Ole Miss Spirit, we've got stuff all day, every day. Just sign up for $1. And I'm telling you, what we're about to start doing with this podcast is it's gonna be fun. And I'm gonna need Ole Miss fans to get involved too, man. I mean, I'm gonna be sitting there with Barney and CJ Johnson and let y'all ask some questions to them too if you want to. You know, we got a lot of things coming here on this podcast. This is just a taste. This is just me and Zach having fun on a Monday. We really haven't gotten the ball rolling yet, but now that it's content creating time. Buddy, we're about to create it here on the podcast, I'm telling you. And I won't just be inside the Riverland Roofing Studios, that little house up top. Might take the little house with me wherever I go, Riverland Roofing, for all of your roofing needs, 662-644-4297, riverlandroofing.com, Rebels Helping Rebels. I'm so pumped for Arthur Brown. No Ole Miss Rebel, in my opinion, deserved hardware more than A.J. Brown because of what he did. This man could have left. This was before the age of freedom of movement, when the greatest concern was, oh, my God, the NCAA is about to destroy Ole Miss, and they're going to rip their roster apart because they're going to allow all these kids to transfer what is now normal. They're going to allow all these kids to transfer. Shea Patterson's gone. Deontay Anderson's gone. Michigan's trying to get Greg Little, too. Greg Little stayed. But the guy that stayed, that had to stay to keep the program from falling apart and fading into the abyss, was A.J. Brown. And he stayed. He didn't get to experience a bowl. He went to the pros, to a shitty organization in the Titans. They traded him because they're dumb. And now he's gotten his hardware. I'm just happy for the man, A.J. Brown. He is always open. Feed that man. The only thing that could have made it better is if he was wearing number one. But that belongs to Jalen Hurts, so we will go with 11. A.J. Brown gets his title. He's a Hall of Famer whenever he retires. Eli will be one day, but he wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer. This has been Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett. Baseball coming up this weekend. Basketball at South Carolina. What a time to be following Ole Miss sports. That's what I don't get. We don't need to take for granted what Ole Miss sports is doing right now. Comfortably in the NCAA tournament in February. February is only 10 days old, and they're comfortably – in the NCAA tournament. Baseball won a title just 2 years ago. Yes, they haven't won since, and that's a problem. But this team looks like it could be closer to those typical Mike Bianco teams than the ones the last 2 years. And then football, the NFL draft, Arthur Brown getting his title. Recruiting never stops. Free agency is a year-round process in college football. It's not like the NFL. So stay with us here at the Talk of Champions on the Talk of Champions podcast and the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com. He's Zach Berry at Zach_Berry on Twitter. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit Ben. Thank you, Zachary. It was fun. We'll do it again. My shout out again before we leave to Riverland Roofing. I need one of those hats you got. I need an On3 hat. What the heck?
Yeah, I got like 4 or 5 in the mail, like way back when I first started. You got you've
been holding out on me this whole time.
You got to go to like the On3 shop. Yeah, you should. You can get them for free.
I can get them for free.
Yeah.
Maybe we should get this swag and give them out as giveaways whenever I take the tour bus and Brocky Nosaki and my guy Flip and Drew Boo, and we hit up in the tour bus, bring a CJ on, and when you walk onto this tour bus, the first thing you see, swag to give away. So if you see the bus pull up soon in the next couple of months, look for Stupid Ginger Shrek and some On3 swag. But I got to get me some first because the hat's clean. Bye, buddy.
See you, man. Have a good one.
At
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.